Today is Monday, May the 20th, 2024. Welcome to episode 61 of FarmWise Sexy Life with the Candy Couple. My name is Julia. Myself and my husband Aaron are a small homestead family in rural Southwest Virginia that work every single day on being less dependent on outside sources, merging homesteading and frugality. And one of the most important pieces to my frugality journey is actually my pantry. I have stressed the importance of having a really good, really strong working pantry on hand, how important that is to our family. And a functional pantry to me is really vital to a thriving homestead or thriving household, whichever you look at it. It's protection for your family. It really is. Aaron and I have talked about this. You think of disasters, you think of job loss, you think of getting snowed in or stuck or whatever, and we have seen empty grocery shelves. 2020 is only four years. And around this time, 4 years ago, you couldn't find food, you couldn't get eggs, butter, you couldn't get anything. You were limited to what you were able to take out of the grocery store. I mean, and that's even in our little rural part of the world where, you know, we would go 30, 40, you know, an hour away to a grocery store out in the middle of nowhere. You would still see signs up, and the signs stayed up for a really long time in our area. And it can happen again. Don't think that that was a one-time occurrence. I would never have thought I would have ever seen that in my lifetime. But we did. We experienced it. We lived through it. So now this is where a working pantry becomes vital. Because if you have a really good solid pantry, this shouldn't affect you for, you know, a little bit of time. You have some space to figure out, okay, where can I go shopping? You can buy a few items here and then a few items there. And really keep your pantry going. Because the goal is to never have a depleted pantry. It's always have a full-going working pantry where you're continuously rotating things through. And pantry is whether you preserve it or you buy it. I do both. I will always do both. I don't think there's any homestead out there that can do all their own preserving and help preserve everything that they eat unless all they eat are vegetables and meat. I'm thinking your grains, your oats, your wheat and all of that. That becomes more difficult. That's where it becomes a lot more difficult to have to manage that. But even then, are you growing all the feed that your, you know, animals need to have? And you have that much property, you're able to maintain that and manage it. A lot of homesteads are much smaller. It's going to be so hard to be that self-sufficient. That's why we're just trying to reduce our dependencies as much as we can. But we know we're not ever going to have a cow on our property. That doesn't make sense for our family. So we're going to have to buy beef from somewhere. Okay, then we manage it. We always make sure it's in our pantry. It's on rotation. That's something we'll buy. But tomatoes, hopefully we'll never have to buy another tomato again because I grow enough that I can preserve them for us and I never have to worry about them. Same thing with zucchini and squash, hopefully broccoli, all of these things that we eat all the time. So, how do you manage a good working pantry? And this is key. You have to be able to manage it. You can have a pantry. You can. You can have this beautiful picture book pantry, and you can have this, you know, place where you have all the stuff. But you have to manage it. And it takes constant work to manage it. It's not just one and you're done. Because your food should be rotating through it. If you just set it and forget it, that's not a pantry. That's a prepper room. That is not a pantry. It's not set and forget. It is to be continuously worked through, continuously moving items in and out. So the first thing is I really like having two places where I keep food. I like my upstairs working day-to-day pantry. This is where I keep smaller amounts of jar foods, a lot of other items that I'm working with every single day. And then I have a place for my overflow jars where I don't have room up here. So I prep a lot of fruit. I don't have room up here for all the fruit that I do. So I have another place to put that where we have a built shelving to actually hold the number of jars that we actually have. Same thing for all the jellies and jams and things like that that I have done. It's one of my overflow areas. And I would say this is, it seems like, God, I don't want two places to keep food. This is such a pain. But you know what? It has really helped my working pantry. If I really think about it, I'm like, man, you know what? I clean out our upstairs pantry, and then I replenish and go through the downstairs pantry where I have, you know, where I'll rotate and work through it. And this is a constant cycle, and you know, it really does keep me moving forward. It keeps me constantly keeping my pantry up to date and making sure I go through the foods that we need to go through, because I have items I need to use now, so I'm going to bring them upstairs now. We're going to use those. And then I have the items that I need to replace those with. So it keeps me sort of, I have an idea of what I always have. Like, I don't know down to the jar how many tomatoes I have. I don't need to know that. I always know I'm at least a couple of months ahead on tomatoes. That's always my goal, because we eat a lot of tomato products. If you've watched any of our videos, you know tomatoes are a huge staple for our household. We don't eat them raw, but man, we cook with them all the time. So it's really works out for us. And since I've gotten the much larger pantry area upstairs, it's really helped me a lot. And I've really realized how much I rely on having those two different spaces. Now, a lot of people don't have a huge pantry upstairs. I will say, like, there was a YouTuber out there that redid their kitchen and they added a pantry, and it's a very pretty pantry. But to me, it's not a functional pantry because there's not a lot of food in the pantry. There's a lot of decorations. My pantry is not decorated. My pantries are full of food. I don't do a lot of that, but it's each their own. I mean, a lot of people like that, and I get it. For me, I'm all about making it functional for me and my family. And that's the next thing, is make it functional. Keep it moving. If it doesn't work, because for whatever reason, you know, this organizer says you should keep your rice here and you should keep your flour. If it doesn't work for you, change it. Change it. Make it work for you. Every single time. Over and over and over again until you find how it needs to work. It doesn't matter if you have to pull everything out, put it all right back in. Now, I do like the idea of using, like, the boxes at, like, the grocery store that they use for cans for things like that. You could get those and put those in your on your shelf. So if you need a switch, just yank that out and get another one. I think that's a great idea, especially if you're trying to figure out how you want your pantry to function. I'm still doing this in my kitchen. Been in my kitchen for over a year. I changed where I had the bowls and plates and our cups. That worked a lot better for me. I switched those. Now I'm about to switch my cookbooks to a different place. Because again, I think it'd be much more functional for me. I switched my coffee area. I mean, I've rearranged my pantry 3 times already. About to do it again because I've got some empty shelving. We've eaten a lot of processed foods that we had on hand. So I'm really working through a lot of these things in my pantry. And because I've worked through so much of it, I'm able to make some more adjustments, more changes, and really make it more functional for us. I could have a whole shelf of beans. I could have a whole shelf of, you know, all the other things that I like to have. I'm not just stuck with trying to find a place where it kind of works, and I can make it work for me. So I will always say rearrange as needed. Don't just assume because you see it this way, it's going to work for you and your family. I know, like, one of the really big things for me is I need to make sure Aaron knows where the few items he's going to eat are in our pantry. He needs to know where the sauces are. He needs to know, like, Worcestershire. He needs to know where that is. We had it in the, where I had it with soy sauce, and it should have been with the sauces. So he thought we were out. We went and bought some. We actually had two bottles. I was like, we're out of Worcestershire. I was like, and I know I'm butchering saying that, but he eats it as a snack with crackers. I know that's very weird, but he likes it, so whatever. I was like, I can't believe we're out of it. He's like, yeah, we've been out of it for a really long time, but we weren't. We actually had some. I didn't realize how much soy sauce I had till I started shifting things around, moving it, figuring out what needs to go where. And I'm still not exactly where I want to be. I'm not anywhere where I want to be with my pantry, but I'm in such a better place than I was before. It's very functional for me. I know where everything is. I can go grab it. It works really well for me. I could put the food up. If I have any food, I can put it up within minutes or seconds. And I can also make sure that it's constantly being rotated, which is another thing. So don't be afraid to rip it out, restart from scratch, look at it, and always think of it from a your family perspective. I feel like it's the biggest thing I harp on. You and your family. Doesn't matter what anybody else says. Go to them for inspiration. That's the goal here. You go to people for inspiration. You don't go to people for how exactly do you do this. I go to them for inspiration, like ideas. How do I make this work even better in my situation, not the other way around? Like somebody's like, oh, don't use baskets. Baskets take up more room. Well, I have baskets in my pantry. I do. I have little bags of snacks that I use for Isabel. We use those for when we're going out. I'm not cutting those out. They're very, very handy to have a couple of healthy snack options when we're out, because when she's hungry, she's hungry. Telling a toddler, you have to wait. Yeah, I could pre-plan and have a whole meal planned out and everything, but anything I make isn't really meant to be travel. It's harder to make food for travel. Trail mix, things like that, yes. But again, that could be messy, drop a lot of them. The straws are wonderful for me, and I'm okay with the ingredients. They're not perfect, but they're better than some others. You want to have a good food rotation system. Always make sure, you know, it's rotating. New goes in the back or in your overflow area. So when I can this year, we'll be bringing up older jars, if I have any older jars, before we put those jars in the pantry upstairs. The new jars go downstairs. We make sure we're continuously rotating, or however it is that it needs to be rotated. Dating is a great thing. I'm also really labeling things. I think you should label just about everything. You think you know what you have there, but you might not actually know what you have there. So I would make sure you're labeling, but always make sure you have a really good rotation system. Don't just assume you're eating the oldest. Make sure you're actually pushing things through, rotating it through, and you have a good system for that. So you're moving and you're eating the oldest first. And I will always say you want to do it based off of, you know, and this is where I struggle. I would do best by date. I would do best by date. And I would not go by that, like, for all things. Because I personally do not. So I would, you know, use your gut. Use your instinct. You know, you can go look at what everybody says. Think canned food's 25 years. Other food is a year or 6 months, depending on what you're looking at. Like, I always go by, does the food smell good? I mean, because food is going to tell you if it's bad. Food's going to tell you it's bad. But that is me personally. Personally. That is not like something I would tell you to do. This is how I personally manage it. And, you know, I've never fed my family bad food. But I would probably go by the best buy date. I don't think the buy date, because you can buy food that has been on the shelf for years, depending on what it is. and it's going to have a longer shelf life than other foods. So I would always go by the Best Buy day, not your date you bought it, because there are some foods that have much, much longer shelf life depending on how they're bought. I will also say you want to make sure like your pop top foods are towards the front. You want to eat those first because they do have a tendency, their seals can go bad because it's just the nature of what they are. I think they're great to have on hand. They're a lot easier, but I would lean towards foods that have a solid top on them versus the pop top for long-term storage in your rotation. So, like, if we like a lot of carrots. Carrots are hard for me to grow, hard for me to can. I mean, this year I've got a couple of carrots out there, but not as much as I should for what I planted. So carrots might not be something I plant next year. A whole area might be beets, which is okay because we like beets. I like beets a lot. So for that reason, I need to make sure I have a good stock of canned carrots. So it's just things that we have to look at and make sure. I would probably have 12 to 24 cans of carrots because two cans of carrots is going to last a couple of meals. So just something to think about. Make sure you're constantly rotating in stock, especially things that you buy on a periodic basis that you don't want to get low on. Have a restock system with budget. What we were just talking about. So you want to make sure you're doing this on a budget. So when things go on sale that your family regularly eats, we're going to talk about that in just a minute. You want to make sure you're buying that food on sale. So make sure you always have a little bit of wiggle room in that budget to get the food that your family eats on sale. This is so important. So important. I don't buy canned vegetables when they are not on sale. I can get them cheaper at my grocery store. I don't have to drive to Aldi's, which is much further away from me, just by waiting for them to go on sale at my grocery store. Have to get 12? Yeah, but typically it's worth it at that cost. And then I could get them for a much cheaper price. Usually a name brand if I'm really watching it, if I'm really careful. The last time I took advantage, I don't take advantage of it very terribly often. I don't need to. Because most of the vegetables we eat, we grow. We don't really buy a lot of canned vegetables. Canned corn, canned carrots tend to be the two I have on hand. Canned peas. I'm the only one in my family that likes peas, so it doesn't make sense for us to grow peas because Aaron doesn't like them. Isabel really doesn't like them. Not really a good reason for me to actually grow them if they're not going to eat them. So those are like the three main ones that I would have on hand for us. But a lot of other people like a lot of other different vegetables. There are so many out there. I have home canned tomatoes because that's what we eat. We eat a lot of tomato products, but I can them myself and I can them in the format that's going to give me the most versatility for my family. So make sure that you have that budget. I know we can get diced tomatoes. They'll be on sale. The last time I saw them, they were like 59 cents a can, which is a really good deal in our area. Typically, if you're buying them at regular price, you're paying a dollar. So you're like, well, 40 cents isn't that big of a deal. Pennies make dollars and they add up. They do. And this idea that, you know, shopping the deals and pinching your pennies doesn't actually help is just nonsense. I'm going to call it what it is. It's nonsense. And anybody who disagrees with me, go ahead and send it. Aaron won't show me anything bad. I told him not to. But no, in all reality, it just is. It does add up and it does make a difference. I know because, you know what, we've pinched our pennies since we've got together. We've gotten out of debt. We've paid over a quarter of $1 million, well over a quarter of $1 million off of debt. And now we are 100% debt free because we pinched our pennies, make small changes, didn't waste our money on foolish things. Or lots of luxury and little treat items over and over and over again. And we were just very careful. Now, did that mean we deprived ourselves? No, but it is what it is. So shop on a budget. Make sure you're filling your pantry with sale items. And if you have room in your budget, kind of spread your purchases out. So what I do is I'll have Aaron every couple of months go get me several bags of flour. It's very expensive flour. I'll have him go get it because it's not going to go on sale for me. It's just not super expensive. But because I spread it out. We're not getting this big hit in the budget all the time. So I get, have him go, you know, depending on how much room I have in the budget, the grocery budget that month, I might have him go at the end of the month and get me like 5 or 6 bags. And that's one of our stockpile items for the month. And that will last us several months. So just one of the things to think about there. Stock food your family eats. I don't understand why people buy food their family does not eat. Now, there are foods I do not eat. I'm a very picky eater. Very picky eater. And typically, I don't buy foods if it's expected like a large meal that we're, you know, we're going to eat. And Aaron has made adjustments. Like, he understands, like, I won't eat peppers and I don't eat, you know, a lot of other foods like onions. And he's really okay. He doesn't miss it. You can add those to most of the foods that I cook. Just for us, we don't eat them. I don't eat them. I don't want them in the food. So I don't buy them. I don't stockpile foods that have foods in them I'm not going to eat. If your family does not like beans, do not buy beans. If your family doesn't like rice, do not buy rice. If your family does not like oatmeal, I would try to find a way to make them like oatmeal. There's so many ways that oatmeal could be made more palatable. And to taste really good, you just have to kind of give it a shot, try. And it doesn't have to be just a blob. You can really make oatmeal taste good. But if they don't like it, don't buy it. You're wasting your money. You're just buying something that's going to sit on your shelf forever in a day. So don't waste your money. Only buy the food you and your family eats. Now, if you're looking to switch it to a healthier version, go slow. Find one that you and your family likes, and then once you find one, stockpile that. My next thing, now this is for pantry management, and it's not going to feel like it. So it's have simple meals on hand. Always. Have something easy that your family can make that's not going to have them destroy your pantry. My pantry is set the way it is because I'm the only one that gets into it unless Aaron helps me and I tell him where to go or I tell him where to put something. He does not go messing in my pantry and rearranging and moving food. And if you are a stickler for where you want your stuff, then don't, you know, have their set area where they can go and get their stuff. But otherwise, they don't touch anything. It is your pantry. If you are the primary person responsible for having the meals prepped and all of this stuff, then they need to respect that boundary because I will tell you, it's happened to me before. Somebody went in to the pantry and threw away all kinds of food they thought needed to be thrown away and rearranged everything to the way they thought it needed to be. And I was the one who was doing the cooking. I was like, why would you do this? Well, because that doesn't make sense there. Yeah, but you're not the one doing the cooking. And you threw away these graham cracker crumbs. They didn't make sense to you to keep, but I used these to make peanut butter balls. And it was so frustrating to me. And that was when I was younger. Much, much younger. And Aaron has just naturally never messed with my pantry. He just wants to know where I want it to put it back. He kind of let me come in and rearrange and change and move things and make it more functional for me and our family. And that's it. You want to keep it functional for you and your family. So have a space if they, you know, where they need to know where items they're going to eat are, like their snack items, have a place for that. A specific place. Always. It never changes. And then, otherwise, have simple foods ready. Like Aaron knows where to get the mac and cheese. If he needs to make a meal of mac and cheese, there's a box. It's there in the pasta section. He can grab that and go. There are cans of food that he can grab and go on the convenience food section. I keep a convenience food section because if we lose power or anything else. Because if something happens to me and he needs to rely on our pantry for that, that's much easier for him versus him trying to put a meal together and figure out where everything is, especially if I'm down and I'm not available. So either you need to teach them how to use your pantry or where to put things back, or I would lean towards have your easy meals. I really like that for me personally, but I like having my pantry set the way it is and not messed with. Aaron knows where all his sauces are. He can go get whatever he wants, and they're always there every time. It never changes. So that's just one of the things to think about. What are your tips for managing pantry? I would love to know what those are. You can email me those at thecandycouple@yahoo.com. And as always, thank you for joining us on Farm Wise Sexy Life with The Candy Couple, where we work hard, live simple, and enjoy life. Have a wonderful day.